Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships. Welcome to episode 45. I don't think we've got really anything in the way of admin and housekeeping this week, so we'll get straight into it.
Mm-hmm.
The focus of this episode is sending money abroad. Not necessarily abroad. Sending money to your long-distance partner. And essentially, why you need to be very careful.
Yes.
So, I mean, we've not really touched on this before, but it's something I've certainly been seeing quite a lot of lately. You know, there are going to be legitimate reasons for it. We did do it occasionally. But, you know, something that should really, really... you should be sensitive to. You know, it's something that should set up alarm bells if it's not in a very particular situation, I'd say.
Yeah.
So, like, when we did it... I think if you want to send them money and you've not initiated that decision or conversation, be very careful, I think, is the gist of it. You know, if they're asking for money, that to me is a bit of a signal. If you're thinking, you know, their birthday's coming up, or I know they're having some financial trouble, or I just want to give them something nice, that's fine. That's all coming from you as a gift.
Yeah, and I think frequency and amounts are, you know, everyone has something come up once in a while, and maybe they need some help from someone. Doesn't always need to be you.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, if it's a one-time thing, it's never happened before, and it's not a ridiculous amount of money, you've been talking to them for a long time, and you feel comfortable with it, then, you know, that's probably okay.
And it could be that they, you know, in the course of a conversation, they just mentioned that, oh, you know, I can't believe this thing happened, and they just let it be known that something financial.
Yeah, which you do with your partner. Yeah,
and then you choose to do it. But if they come to you asking for money, I think the first question I would have is, why are they asking you? You know, why are they not asking family or friends? Especially because one of the things we have touched on before is that one of the criticisms people in long-distance relationships often get is the question, what's wrong with them? Why have they not got someone? Why can't they get someone nearby, you know? And I don't think that's a fair criticism, but I think in that situation, if you're the only person they feel they've got, maybe then you can ask, have you not got anyone else in life? Because not to infer that they're... not to infer there's something wrong with them, like they haven't got anyone, but more, are they being very secretive with these people, or are they making this up to scam a stranger out of money, and they've fostered this sort of relationship so that you feel like you can trust them and they're a real person, but from their point of view this is a false persona, or they just see someone they can take advantage of.
Which leads perfectly like into kind of, I think, my golden rule for it. If you haven't met the person in real life, like if you're an online couple who has met online and hasn't met in person yet, not there's anything wrong with that, that's how we met, but if that's where you are, I don't think transferring money or sharing money, loaning money is a good idea. Until you know this person, you never for sure until you know them in real life. And I think that's just kind of a wise rule of thumb to stick to.
And I think so, this is probably a conversation you can have in sort of layers. It's like, you know, the first point of it is be very, very, very careful. But, you know, of course, not everyone's going to heed that warning, and maybe they're asking and you are the only person they can ask, or the only person that they feel comfortable asking, and everything's genuine. So I think, like, the next layer for me is to pay attention to the request. So then you get into, is it a lot of money? Like, do they want $10 because, you know, the boss is late paying them, or so, you know, something kind of admin-y has caused them a problem and they just can't fill their car up or something? Or is it actually they want a pretty significant amount of money? And some people are pretty shameless about asking for money from people they know can't really afford it. Mm. You know, so in a long-distance relationship, they may feel you're sort of easy pickings because there's this emotional attachment, and they may think, even though you can't afford this sum of money, you're likely to make it happen anyway, because you don't have to disappoint them. And but so you've got the amount of money, but also the regularity that they ask for it. You know, if they ask for it as a one-off and they let it be known this is a one-off, and you know, then it's up to you. But you might think, okay, on balance, I think I'm quite comfortable doing this. But if this becomes weekly, monthly, even if it's every 6 months, it may not have to be very frequently, but if you start seeing a pattern that they're asking for money, that's something to be definitely on the lookout for, because it may not be that they're necessarily scamming you. Even it could be, maybe this is an indication of like a personality problem, like maybe they've got a gambling problem, mm-hmm. and every so often they lose a lot of money. You know, so it may not be that they're, because we could be saying all this and the person listening might be thinking, no, I trust them, like I know that they're good. Maybe they are good, but it doesn't mean that they're good with money, mm-hmm. or they haven't got a problem, or they haven't got a problem as in, like, you know, a physical something they're trying to deal with, or a
Gucci habit.
Yeah, or a problem in the sense of, you know, a gambling addiction,
or just managing their money.
Maybe they owe people. Yeah, maybe they can't get things, or maybe they can't keep a job and they keep losing money. You know, it doesn't have to be that their intentions are bad.
And it can be really hard, I think, when you care about someone and they ask you to do something that you just doesn't sit right with you and you don't feel comfortable with, but you know, you don't want to say no, you care about this person. Not just with money. I mean, there's all sorts of things in a relationship. People compromise on their morals, I think, because they love someone and feel like, oh God, but I don't want to say no. Like, then they're going to be mad at me, or they'll think mm-hmm. I don't trust them. So, you know, you have to find what you're comfortable with. And I think, you know, if you feel the request for money is legitimate, or maybe it's the first time and probably the only time, I think, I don't know where I heard this kind of advice. Maybe my parents, maybe I heard it in a movie, but I remember hearing it when I was very young. Never loan someone more than you can go without. So that means, like, kind of assume I'm going to quote unquote loan this to this person, but look at it as if you're not going to get it back. Because there's always a chance that you loan anyone money and you're not going to get it back. So if that means, you know, oh, $200, I'm not going to miss that. I won't see it missing. Then if you're comfortable with that and you don't need to see it coming back, go for it.
Well, on that point, there's nothing really like lending someone something to cause problems, you know, because if you're giving that without expectation and getting it back as a bonus, then fine. But if you're saying, I'm going to lend this to you and I need it back, I can't really afford it, then your conversations are frequently going to be, where's my money?
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to drive a wedge between you. And there's not really any way of avoiding that. You know, if you need that money and you're really relying on them giving it back and they can't, or they don't, or they won't, there's no way that's not going to get unpleasant.
Yeah. And I think going back to what I said about, you know, the guilt you might feel saying no, until you're sharing a home and a life with someone and you know, your finances are joined, your money situation really isn't their business, in the sense that, like, how much you have or what you have going on financially in a month or a year or whatever. Obviously, yeah, I'll pay for dinner this time, you know, if when you're together, or, you know, I can afford to pay for the flight this time for you to, you know, whatever. But in terms of where your money comes from and how much you have, like, they don't need to know specific numbers. And so I think that's a good rule to follow from the beginning, because then if they do say, like, oh, you know, I really need some money, and that way it gives you the option to, if you don't feel comfortable with whatever their request is for money, you can say, do you know what, my boss has been really bad about paying me on time, I haven't got it right now, or I have a big expense, my car's, you can kind of make a little bit of an excuse. And I think if you're at a stage where you're not sure you're comfortable loaning money to this person, that could mean that you're earlier on, maybe, or you haven't met yet. And at that point, I hate to say it, but I think a little lie like that is okay. If you're not comfortable with it, but you also don't want them to hate you, or you don't want to feel the guilt about it, it's okay to just say, you know what, I have something coming up and I can't swing it right now, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, or because, look, actually, all the money I've got, I'm saving to come and see you. Yeah, you can sort of play on their emotions too. But I think the important thing is never feel obligated to mm-hmm. do it. Like, never feel like you have to do this. Even if you don't have any doubts about who they are or their sincerity, you don't have to give them money.
No.
And it's also, this, I don't mean this to sound devious, but you could say to yourself, I have no problem lending this money, but first, maybe use it as a bit of an opportunity to see, you know, another side of their personality. If you say, I'm prepared to earn this money, but first I'm going to say, you know, I can't really do it, and see how they react to that. Because if they say, you know what, that's fine, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have asked, great. But if they start saying, you have to, you owe it to them, what kind of partner are you, all that kind of ugly stuff, then, you know, that's something to think. Yeah. That's something to make you think, who am I actually with here?
And also, if they ask you for it, or it comes up, you know, and it's put on you, I think if you do feel uncomfortable, ask yourself why. And if that's just because maybe you're still early on, you just don't know their, you know, the ins and outs of them yet, or it, has there been something that's been a red flag? You know, were they talking about going out and getting drunk and spending lots of money with their friends last weekend, and now, oh shit, I can't pay my rent? You know, is this lack of, you know, adult behavior? Is this poor money management? Or is it, like I said, you know, something really unexpected come up? Whatever it is, but ask yourself why, and keep an eye out.
Yeah, and can you really afford it? Because, you know, we know a lot of the people that listen to us are sort of on the younger side. And, you know, we've been there, we've been young, we know just how hard it is to try and get some solid financial footing, and money seems to disappear as quickly as it comes in, and it's never, you know, you're not typically earning much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shouldn't be giving away, you shouldn't be putting yourself into trouble to help someone else get out of trouble.
And the situation is going to be different completely from everyone. The one time that money was loaned between us, you know, it wasn't an issue. It was not long after we'd met. I'd come back home. Rich was starting his, like, well, he started up a freelance business, so income was great some weeks, and then
it was feast or famine.
Yeah, it was feast or famine for sure, especially at the beginning. I was a teacher, so I got a steady paycheck every 2 weeks, and we were just talking, and Rich brought it up with no kind of, I think, plan of getting me to give you money. It was just, oh, I got a letter from the bank today, and my over, it was something to do with like a student loan or something, had dropped into an overdraft, and the only way you could fix it was to go overdrawn on another account, and you were like, it's just really frustrating because I just, you know, if I could sort this out.
I think I remember, I think I was like 5p overdrawn, and it triggered a £25 fee because of the admin cost.
It was more than that because I needed to send you $60 for whatever reason.
Maybe
it was.
I had two.
Maybe, but whatever you said something like, it's really annoying because I just need to scrape together this much and then the issue will be gone. Otherwise, it would keep kind of cropping up. And I said, how much is it? And it was like £40. And I was like, that's fine. I'll send it to you now. Just give it back to me as soon as you can. And you did, like, within 2 weeks, less probably.
Yeah.
But I had met him. I had spent a month with him. We'd been talking for 6 years at that point. We'd known each other online, you know, and about a year, really seriously been talking nonstop. And I think even then I thought, ooh, is this a bad idea? Like, I trusted you, but I also knew that you were trying to get a business started, but I also knew you were living at home. And I thought, okay, I'll do this once, and then, you know, if it ever comes up again, kind of thing, and it never did. So, you know, luckily that worked out fine, but, you know, I was aware of what I was offering, and that it could have consequences, and I knew what I would do if it did
go wrong. Yeah, I think really, this is more of a concern the earlier on in the relationship.
Absolutely, especially if you haven't met.
Yeah, especially if you haven't met, and even before that, you know, if you haven't, it's sort of unfathomable in this day and age, but if you haven't even had a video call, you know, if there's nothing live between you, absolutely not. You know, they shouldn't even be asking at that point. You know, so the further in you are, if you've met and all that, then you may be more comfortable, but the earlier on, the more guarded you need to be about it. And, you know, I know we've spoken about catfish quite a few times.
An episode about being catfished.
We did, you know, but the TV show of it. This comes up quite a lot, yeah. You know, and it's I think it's sort of opened
it's
our
really
eyes.
Funny you just went to say that now because I was about to start talking about catfish.
But it's really opened our eyes to it. That I think potentially the scale of it, and I know what always shocked, because one of those shows, you know, where all the episodes kind of are very similar.
Yeah,
but what shocks me about it, the thing that kind of frequently comes up, is the length some people are prepared to go to deceive someone else. I mean, you see those episodes where they've been doing this for like nearly a decade. And that's, like, I can't even get my head around it. Like, what a waste of life. But you know, when you're the person sitting there trying to make a judgment call on a personality, as the good person, it's really easy to think, oh no, of course I don't. I've known them for a year. Of course they're not this. But actually, that, you know, the length of time apparently doesn't seem to make much difference. And mm-mm. you really have to be honest with what you truly know about them and how much of themselves they've shown to you. Like we said, have you met? Have they been quite open to having a video call with you? Or are they full of excuses? And you got to ask yourself all those kind of questions. And yeah, that show has really been a bit of an eye-opener to
generation.
How twisted some people are.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's dramatized. As most American reality type shows are, but you know, it does happen, I think. And you know, you gotta be careful. We hear about things that happen. I remember this was really weird. I had just gotten back maybe a month or so after I'd gotten back from coming over to England to meet Rich for the first time, and I had gone back home, was just started, you know, the new school year teaching. And a couple of my family members started, or families and friends, people that, you know, that I emailed, started emailing me or messaging me saying like, hey, you're not in England right now, are you? Like, where are you? You know, I'm in Arizona, like I'm home, I'm working. And like, I just got this really weird email from you saying you were stranded in London and you needed money and da da da. So like, hacking and scams and things, someone had gotten in my emails, basically how to change my password and stuff.
That was a big scam going around. I think they sent like did it have your name in it?
It was from my email address. Yeah.
But it wasn't someone who just known you had just been in London. That was just sort of a coincidence. This huge targeted scam of
My family and friends knew, you know, but all, even people I didn't talk to directly had been all over my Facebook that I'd finally come and met you and all my pictures and stuff. So some of my family was really confused, especially people that I wasn't as in touch with. Aren't you back? And da da da. Thankfully, no one was scammed by it, but basically it was saying that, oh, I'm stranded in London, this or that happened, and I need money, can you send it to me here? And thank God no one did. But scams happen online, that's all I'm saying. So if you've met someone online.
Yeah, and also, people will do, or like Meatloaf said, you know, you do anything for love.
I won't do that.
Yeah, he won't do that. But the point is, if you're inclined to be devious and manipulative, there's nothing like preying on someone's feelings for you to get what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think just as we've said in earlier episodes, especially at those early stages, you know, to look out for red flags, protect yourself, like, emotionally and physically when you go to meet, kind of thing. But this is just another thing, really, to look out for.
I think my golden rule on it is, unless you've initiated the decision like you did, you know, I mentioned, oh, yeah, this is really annoying, but I didn't ask you for the money, and I wasn't insinuating that I wanted you to give me the money.
But here's the thing, you didn't, but a lot of people would. A lot of people would maybe talk about their money problems a lot, just waiting for the offer.
Yeah, they would. Be on your guard. But my golden rule is, it's not foolproof. Like you said, they may manipulate you into making the decision. But I would say under no circumstances give money to requests for it until you're weighing and you've met and you know their life. But certainly all the time you haven't met, you know, if they're asking for money, don't do it. If you're sitting there thinking, I want to be nice, the birthday's coming up, I'm going to send the money, or, oh, I know this just happened, that's fine. You're just making
know that there's a rough patch, they're between jobs, they're waiting to start, you know, whatever it is.
And as you said, you give without expectation of getting it back. If you get it back, it's a bonus, but I think if you're going to send money, you need to have the attitude of, I don't want this to come between us. I may mention it once, like, oh, you know, how are you with your money? But and then, you know, if you don't bring it up and they don't bring it up again, that's sort of an insight into their personality that you can put in your back pocket and think, well, that's kind of telling that, you know, I really helped them out there and they're hoping it never comes up again and they've got no intention of repaying me. Because if you're going into this relationship, I think, long distance relationships, generally people go into them hoping that there's a future there because it's a huge investment.
Otherwise, yeah, like, why do that if you don't want to go somewhere?
So if you're in there with that intention and then you're seeing these little things from your partner, like, oh, they're hoping they'll never have to pay me back, you can start thinking, is that someone you want to spend the rest of your life with? You know, is mm-hmm. that is that the personality you want as you get into marriage and everything? Because I think the it's easy to think, oh, that's just because I haven't got much money. When they get more money, that'll change. I don't think that's true. I think money just sort of reveals your character, and there's plenty of poor people who are incredibly generous. You know, they will put themselves back into debt to pay someone back. So don't think, oh, it's only because they haven't really got the money that they're not going to try and pay me back. To people who that's important to, if they owe you £50, the minute they get £50, the first thing they'll do is pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other people who will have, yeah, they'll get thousands of pounds and think, oh no, I don't want to give that much away. You know, so don't be fooled into thinking they're only not bringing it up because they'll do it later on when they've got even more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big indicator, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I think really you just need to watch out for number one in situations like these. And, you know, in our situation, $60, I wasn't going to miss. If you'd asked me for a couple hundred or a few hundred dollars, I would have thought, well, you didn't ask me, but if it had been a figure of, oh, $9,500.
Yeah, I mean, you get people saying, oh, I'm going to pay their rent this month, or, oh, I need to fix their car for them. It's like, there's an element here of, you have to take responsibility for your own actions. You know, so if your car doesn't work and there's no one they can ask, then ride a bike. Like, you can't just expect someone to... Someone doing that for you is a huge favour that you should be grateful for. It's not something you can go around demanding and expecting. And it's, but you can't just demand it because they're your partner. And like I said, you have to also be mindful of how much money you have, or if you're the requester, how much money they have. They may genuinely not be able to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't put themselves into trouble to help out. You shouldn't put yourself into trouble to help out. Certainly not something that should be expected. It took us quite a long time to have any sort of amount of regular money.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if you're long distance, there's probably travelling, there's expenses involved, there's flights, there's potentially petrol, hotels. But, yeah. Not everyone's able to stay in a house. You know, so it's just something to be very, very careful of, and not you could lose a lot of money with it.
Yeah, you definitely could. And it could cause a lot of problems. But then if it's the kind of person that money's going to be a problem with, maybe it's better to find out early on. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah. Don't be afraid to ask the question of, yeah, you asked me for money not long ago. What's going on?
Yeah.
And be on the look, because there are people who life just doesn't pan out for them. You know, something's always going wrong, and it's just a case of you need to get your shit together, because...
But there are people who just have bad luck too.
There are, but if you know you keep getting unexpected costs, parking tickets, parking fines, or whatever, things keep going wrong, then the sensible person would say, even if it's $5 a month, I'm going to start putting something away into an account that's for unexpected shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let that build up. Because a lot of the time, the people who have this bad luck, life doesn't pan out for them, a lot of the times, these people never have their shit together.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of wonder, is it a coincidence, or are you not learning from these things? And then if you become present in their life as their saviour, they've got no reason to change.
Yeah.
Because, oh no, there's someone who'll get me out of whatever trouble I get into.
Yeah, and I just remember something else I really wanted to mention in this. I think the one exception, if you haven't met where, you know, for lack of a better word, lending money is acceptable, is if it's to actually meet, but with a caveat, which is your favorite word.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the position to provide the money for transportation for the other person to come to you, whether that's an expensive train ticket or a flight, you know, whatever it is, don't give them the money to book it themselves. Get their details and everything and book it yourself, because I would just hate to think of someone being really excited. We're finally going to meet. You're going to book your ticket. Here, I've transferred you the money. And then
you get
they disappear.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it and say, oh, no, you know, I want to book it. And if there's any kind of resistance of, oh, no, send it to me. I need to do it because of this. And I need to do it. No. No. If they really want to meet you and, you know, they should be fucking grateful that you're going to pay for them to come to you. But if they're, you know, it's not going to be a problem if they're legit. So, yeah, that's the only kind of time I think where it's safe to pay for something big or expensive if you haven't met yet. But don't give them the money directly. Yeah, take care of it yourself. Book it for them.
You know, as a broader topic, this we've obviously focused on long distance and sending money to people, but this does also this still is a conversation when you're physically together, even if you're married. If this is someone who's got poor money habits, maybe they're secretive. You know, if you have got, going back to the other example, if you've got a gambling problem, many times that is kept secret. The only way it presents itself is money problems. You know, so still, this is an ongoing topic that's relevant to any type of relationship. Mm. Maybe less so of being scammed, but certainly losing a lot of money, looking out for red flags, paying attention to what someone's telling you, maybe without telling you, and just, you know, having a guard up and being sensible, especially if you're the breadwinner, or you don't have to be the breadwinner, but they just never seem to have any money. Because
mm-hmm.
we're talking about, like, you know, even hear about these people who have double lives, you know, they've got another family to support, you know, so money's going to be tight for them. So we have that whole episode on money and managing a budget together and things. I forget what it is, but it's
money management for couples, but I can't remember the number.
Yeah, but it's on our website. It's on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. So I think check that one out. But yeah, just stay safe.
Yeah, and I think in, you know, non-distance relationships, same thing. If it's early on and getting to know someone, I think it's a lot easier to see the red flags when you're in a non-distance relationship, because you can see if you're going out, if they're paying, if they're looking at the menu, at prices really close, or, you know, you just have a better insight to what their day-to-day life is like and therefore what their spending's like, and you'll hear about any money problems a little bit more. You know, you just can tell a whole lot more. So, which doesn't mean that things can't go wrong. You shouldn't watch out. I'm just saying it's easier to tell if, oh, you know what, I'm not comfortable with the way this person is, or, gosh, you know, I've had to buy dinner the last four times we've gone out. Like, what's going on? But I guess that all depends on your rules, if men and women should swap paying, whatever. But just keep an eye out, because the last thing you want to do is get scammed or end up in a committed relationship with someone who is always having financial trouble because of their own decisions.
Yeah, and, you know, you don't... I know a lot of couples don't even mention what they earn to each other. Personally, I don't think I necessarily agree with that. We're very open and transparent with our money. We've got, you know, joint sort of...
Yeah, but we're married. Like, if I met someone...
But I'm talking about married people. There are plenty of married people who don't. But what I was going to say about that was, yeah, if you're earlier on, don't feel obligated again to tell them what you earn. Because mm-hmm. until you really know this person and what they're like with money, them wanting to know what you earn could be their way of saying, I want to know if you're my new bank account.
Yeah. Like I said before, I think unless you are in a position where you're going to move in together, you know, or it's approaching that and you want to start talking about moving in, like, they don't need to know the specifics of what you're making. But yeah, once things start joining up and you're going to have bills to pay together, then yeah, that it you need to know a lot more about each other's financial situation, which is fair enough. But yeah, before that, it's your business, not theirs.
Exactly. Should we wrap it up there?
I think so. Just a little cautionary tale for all, well, not tale, but episode.
Yeah. So if you've got any questions on this or experience on this, or you
I'm sure there's
with
some horror stories out there.
Send us longdistancetomarriage.com. Send us a message. Talk to us on social media. I think this could be a really interesting topic.
Yeah. Probably kind of scary, the things that people have encountered, but...
But until next week?
Yes. See ya.